Okay, so excited to spend another Sunday with each one of you. Our topic today is water the seed. And on the grill, we got energy. And you know, I love setting up every episode with a quote that lays the groundwork for a provocative and interesting conversation. So here's the quote. I'm not in charge, I'm a charge. And that comes from our special guest today. And I'm going to ask him about it because, you know, if you're the charge, you got big shoes to fill. And he definitely does have that. So with that quote, I believe that sets us up nicely to talk, express, relate, and connect with our special guest today. My man, Anthony Cruz, is in the backyard.
What's up?
Hey, man, you got the best hand. You keep the best hand, man. I mean, you're just so cool in your demeanor and what you bring to everything you do. And I was just so excited when I heard that I had the opportunity to get with you today. I said, you know what? This is going to be a heater, and the audience is really going to appreciate all the nuggets that you give to them today, that we give together to them today, because they definitely going to get a lesson in on how to persevere and how to be great at it. So what I want to ask you first of all is what you've been up to, man.
Oh, man, everything. a lot, really. I know everybody says that, but everything, like, and I don't mean everything, like all music, like everything, life. You know, I just got back from the gym, so I went and worked out.
Okay.
Got to keep that going. I didn't work out, like, hit weights, so I went and hoop. But everything, like, life's going on. A lot of music. I've been busy with producing more than, like, performing or doing my own personal solo music.
Right.
So that's kept me really... really, really, really busy.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to know, how did you get involved in this thing called music, man? Because this isn't something that we take on lightly, especially I know you don't. So tell us about how that started for you.
My musical journey started from my family, my sister. She's older than me, and she's been singing since I could remember, like 6-7 years old. And not just singing, like, oh, she's, you know, she's singing happy birthday. And she had like a big, huge voice, like as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And we would go to all the churches and she would sing and just everybody would be like, wow. Like, so I would just always look at her like, oh man, like that's crazy. And then my dad was a musician. I watched it, and I grew up in church. I grew up in choirs, church choirs. So music has been there the whole time.
Right.
However, didn't necessarily mean that I was participating. I was just observing. Like, I didn't actually start my musical career till after I graduated high school.
Oh, okay.
That kind of water the seed is really almost like a homage to my path that I went, because I realized I didn't really start. I just watched, and I didn't have anybody that really kind of said, hey, let's go do this or try this or whatnot, like a Greedy Greg. I didn't have a Greedy Greg like I have now. Shout out to Greedy Greg.
Yeah, shout out to Greedy Greg. And I wanted to talk to you about Water the Seed, and I felt that that would be the great topic for our conversation. How did Water the Seed come together? And really, what is the meaning behind even the title of it?
The Water the Seed is just that. Like, I look at artists as like seeds, myself included, and others that I work with, producers, musicians, vocalists, rappers, writers, it doesn't matter, you're an artist, painters, you know.
Yeah.
Like, water the seed. I know I particularly, you know, my specialty is in the music side of things, and I'm trying to even expand that. But water the seed is about kind of watering those people who didn't have somebody to kind of give them the encouragement, give them the outlets, give them the insight, the tools, the, you know, just having somebody water their seed, you know, not necessarily in a form where, like, I hear everybody's, not everybody, but people have had managers and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about that. Water seed to me is nourishing, like nourishing these artists, teaching them how to survive on their own. showing them the things like, I want to shave off like 10 years of their journey if I can, you know, get them right involved. So that's where Water the Seeds stem from, because my journey, you know, I took the long route. You know, what I do isn't overnight. I've been, you know, around for a while, and I've been honing my craft and getting good and trying to figure out how I fit. And I realized how I fit in this is more or less not just what I do, but what I could teach and what I could share with others.
Yeah.
Spread my energy. Like I said, I'm not in charge, but I'm a charge. Everywhere I go, I want to pass that electricity over to you, whether it's spiritually, whether it's through music, whether it's just I'm a smile at you, or I'm a point at you, or we're gonna laugh.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, definitely.
We exchange energy, so.
That's
more or less the concept of Water Seeds. I'm starting it with music and with artists. So me as a producer, I collaborate with all kinds of different artists. Be it a spoken word, a violinist, guitar player, drummers, singers, Latin artists, Spanish speaking rappers. I had an Italian rapper that was kind of cool.
Wow.
But my goal is to kind of like have all these people, if I'm the connection to all these people knowing each other in LinkedIn, that's what I want to be.
Yeah.
Like to kind of build a network. And Water the Seed, it's starting out as a label. So it's going to be me just, what happened is I've been doing this forever anyway. And most of the times people don't put their music out.
Yeah.
Or they don't release, or they don't, something fell through with the management or with the label. And I have a ton of records that never seen the light of day. You know, people spent money and paid me to do stuff, sent me to a whole other country to get stuff done, and the album's never seen the light of day. So like to kind of put an end to that for myself personally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get with certain artists that I see and like, hey, let's do an EP. 4 songs, we'll knock it out. We'll release it independently. I couldn't have done this like, you know, 6 years ago because the independent outlets weren't really there. Now they are. So now it's kind of like, all right, let's see what you could do. Not a lot invested on my end, not a lot invested on them. I don't want to sign them forever or anything. It's kind of just a different concept of approaching creating and distributing music and then getting creative people to kind of surge together. And
what it sounds like, not to cut you off, but what it sounds like is giving an individual or an artist sort of the type of confidence that they need to know where they need to get stronger if they want to be an artist. Because I know that if you give me the opportunity to do 4 songs, and then I ain't got to worry about just where they're going to be produced or how they are going to need to be put out, as well as not have to worry about coming up with a lot of money. But at the end of it, I have a product in which to evaluate myself from.
Exactly.
And that to me is what I think would allow a lot of us to not make the same kind of mistakes, because you can see from that process what it's going to take to be a good artist. You can see through that process what the different pieces that you need in order to be able to put a record together. Because a lot of the young people coming up really don't understand that. They think that you just put out a record and
that's it.
No, yeah, and that's it. I put out a record. Okay, what else have you done? Do you write? Do you know producers? Are you cultivating relationships? Because this business is about relationships.
And
if you're not able to connect or at least put yourself on a platform such as your Water the Seed situation, how would you know who you can get to play piano on your record if you want to try it? Who you can get to produce something for you? So I need to ask you, how did you get all of these talented people to come together on one plane, knowing that this is a giving thing and you're not going to get paid? How? Tell me how.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, everybody, to me, I never tell anybody that you don't get paid, but not every payment is monetary.
Right, right.
So I've built relate, like you said, this business is about relationships all across, even not just the business of the music, but just like the business of gaining your fan base. Like,
yeah,
like you have to be attentive. You got to understand. So for like me and the musicians, I've built relationships with them. I got other abilities, like in being able to record and mix. So where they need assistance in that, I'll come and I won't charge them.
Okay.
But like I said, it's not always cash payment. Sometimes it's like, hey, you know what? Support me and I'll support you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few of them. I don't have a lot of people like that, but I got a good tight handful of people. That's how we work.
Right.
And some stuff different. Some stuff is like, not just, hey, do me the favor, I'll favor you back. Some stuff is, hey, let's go get this. They're paying this. I got this and we'll take care of you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about, you know, respecting their craft and respecting their time. So I've built, and it's putting in the time. Like none of these relationships that I have were overnight. Right. And it's not, that's kind of what Water the Seed is kind of doing. Like, all right, you're a brand new artist. You really don't have 10 years that you've gone and built all these relationships with different musicians, I understand. So I bring that to the table. But at the same time, I get my musicians and producers that I work with to kind of get new talent and new art. And it's all very simple. We keep everything extremely basic. It's just us and the artists. We split it, no obligations. If it works out great, it works out great. If it was like, just like we all know in this business, sometimes they don't always, the product might look great, but you know, I don't want to work with this person again.
Yeah.
So there's no obligations. And I just like a unrestricted kind of, you know, I started looking at like record companies and then as artists. And over my years, I realized what's the biggest headache for the record company? It's the artist.
Yeah.
And then what's the biggest headache for the artist?
It's the record company.
And it's really just comes down to like, I don't want you to tell me what to do. And you know, I don't want you to own me forever. And it's like, I agree. Like, I don't want to own you forever. I don't want to tell you what to do. Let's work. Mm-hmm. Do one product at a time. We're creating a product. So when you create a product, it kind of changes the dynamic of everything. It's like, hey, we both invest. Right. And that's my talents, my gifts, my abilities, and my network and my know-how. You do the same on your end. And this is, we split it up and we move forward. If that makes that person go on and blow up, you know, next year, great.
Right.
You don't owe me anything. I think of whatever I build in you, if I'm join you along your journey or continue, cool. If not, we forever have what we created. Like that's like I said, it started from me personally, all these records that I did with all these people over the years and some not getting released or sometimes them going on and having very, you know, successful careers. And I'm like, oh man, we never released that. We never finished that song or whatnot. So this kind of alleviates all that.
Yeah,
just makes
definitely.
It simpler. And it's more about, for me, less about the business side, more about the network, getting creative people around a platform and having these creative people understand that like what they do is powerful.
Yeah.
And when they unite together, it's magnified and even more powerful.
Yeah.
So and that's kind of what it's about for me.
Yeah. And you know, we've gotten so far away from that musically. If you think about the great labels like Motown, the way mm-hmm. that they work, similar to what you're talking about, I'm sure there was a few dollars involved and the same right. type of equity that we're talking about. But it was all of them together lending their strengths to yeah. a song. Like, hey, I'm a great writer. So I'm going, like Smokey was a great writer. Yeah. So he lended his pen to a situation with a Marvin Gaye or whatever. Marvin had a great inclusive voice and he would lend his voice. And it's kind of... Mm-hmm. It's kind of like we have to get back to that in order to be a solid piece of representing yeah. music again.
Well, we want it to be great, right? Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, I hope every musician aspires that their music to be great.
Right.
And imagine if you get a handful of great people to combine and you're not like, you're going to actually have greatness. That's what's, like you said, it was lacking more in today is like the unity as far as like people working together. It's just, I get it, one person in the room and that's cool too because that one person, that might be its only outlet and that might be their way to do what they do. But as you progress, the more people you bring involved, the higher vibration it has, the higher energy. It's just a whole different level of what we're doing.
Right, right. That's the vibe, man. So let's also talk about some of your new music. You just released something through this Water the Seed situation. And the thing that I love most about what you released is that it is worldly in the way that it sounds. It's not just one theme, one way, one viewpoint. It just feels so inclusive. And that's what I got out of the music as I listened to each song. I was like, wow, you can hear a little bit of an African influence. You can hear a little bit of, you always like to play with instrumentation, live music. You're not like the type of person that will totally just utilize a beat and expect that, or a Pro Tools or a mimicking of something. You really implement live music into everything that you do as it relates to this project. So I wanted to talk about Already. How did that song come together and what's the message behind it?
So Already is that's what the that just came out officially yesterday.
It was Propaganda
and L's. So Already came about. That's like the initially that project was only going to be four songs.
Okay.
And it the fourth song was Already, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna make it really, you know, this really big, and I'm gonna go there. But I wanted it to be a vibe. So I got my boy J-Mo on the guitar to. And he did his thing. And then I have another young saxophone player, Josh. He came in. Actually, we didn't do it there. I went to his college. He went to buy, he was still in, this was prior to pre-pandemic. So these songs have been warming up and taking time to get done. But I remember I went to his college campus and recorded him playing the saxophone for this song. I think I was gonna go out of town and he was like, well, I'm at school. I was like, could you get into the studio at school? And he's like, I think so. I was like, all right, I'll meet you there in about an hour and a half. So I went there and that was the first thing. So I put that because I knew I needed to build a kind of like a little layer and a foundation before I had Propaganda come in and do what he did. And I actually had him in the backyard.
So he was back here recording, which is amazing.
So note for you, the secret sauce is the backyard.
Here it is.
It's the secret sauce. So I got the sax, got the guitars, and my boy Koti, we worked on some drum sequences. And then I think I finished that part, and then I went to this live. I go to a lot of live shows.
Okay.
So I went to this live thing that was called After Church. LA, which is pretty much a bunch of musicians, local LA musicians, dope musicians, producers. But everybody goes after church, like 5, 6 p.m., and they jam out. They have performers sing one song. So there was a guy whom I kind of knew already briefly, and he just performed and he sang. He's the guy that's on there doing the background. And I heard him, I was like, yo, I'm gonna ask this guy to get, I'm gonna ask him to get on this record like right now. So he finished and he cut off and we talked for a little bit. And he's like, yeah, send it to me. So I sent him, he sent it back to me the next day with his parts. Then I went had Propaganda actually come back in. He laid his vocals, his verse, and then he leaves. Everybody who works with me, they just come and just do their verse and then they leave. And I don't see him for about 6 months. Or longer, and it's a whole different song when they come back.
Right, it's but, like a sleepover. You know what I mean? You come up and stay the night, do you come back, and it's never the same. You know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I got what I needed from him, but the concept for that one, he had just gone to Ethiopia.
Oh, okay. So that's what that feel is. That because
he had just gone to Ethiopia and had a whole experience, and he was telling me about it literally right there. And Propaganda is really into coffee, so we were in the back there, and he was making the coffee and telling me all about his experience, how he went to Ethiopia, and it was just like a cool energy, a cool vibe, and I had already had like the beat kind of semi done. So he went in and he layered his part and is like everything we have. This album is one of four different projects. The whole thing is called Terraform.
Okay.
Which, when you dive into this project, you, like you said, you started to realize it goes from here to there.
Yeah.
Has different vibes, different. So the sky is the name of the project. And that's kind of like, we already have everything we need in this planet, the sky. And you could go on and YouTube his things and whatnot. He has explanations for everything. Propaganda is very detailed. He's also a spoken word poet in it. And a speaker and whatnot. So this whole layout for his project has been very detailed. So it could explain it further and whatnot. But for that song, I had all that. I had the guy background singing. I had the saxophone playing. I had my drums I did. I put some scratches in. I had Propaganda in. And I was, like always, I was really like, it's good. I'll feel it. I played it for a few people. I hadn't played it for Propaganda yet since he first came. And then I just felt like it was missing something. So I was in the backyard.
Shout out to the backyard. We rolling back here.
The backyard. There's going to be a lot of backyard references because they're working. So I was back there and I was sitting there thinking, I was like, I need another voice.
Okay.
Because he had like the background and it kind of has that. When you hear the song, it literally sounds like background vocals, very like a male angelic oohs and ahs going in and out, and they fit good with the saxophone and everything. But I needed something else. So I was in the backyard, and I remember I just had a session maybe a few days before with another artist, and he brought a singer that had a crazy different voice.
Okay.
I wonder if this guy could come out. And so like I literally jumped in the car, picked him up, brought him back. Because I had to turn in the project, like, I think the next day or something. Wow. So that song came about, like, most of my stuff. Like, scattered ideas, blended back in, sitting back, listening again, listening in the backyard, or, you know, sometimes in the car, traveling, listening, and then realizing, all right, there's one last thing. So after I put him in, I signed it up, and then the whole project has a vibe, but that one is a very peaceful calming, you know, energy to it.
I just love it because being that we've been inside for so long with the pandemic and all of that, when I listened to that, I just felt like it gave me an opportunity to get outside in a different way. Not only lyrically, and the message was really, really clear for me, but the way that it tapped on me culturally with the African semblance and also with the saxophone and it being very musical. Mm-hmm. It just really, to me, it just captured being or saying that already, meaning like things will be done already if you stay focused on it, if you stay diligent to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the thing that I really like about you, Anthony, is that you're very patient. Like I wish I could just pour a little bit of you in my cup. And we've had conversations before, you know, I'm intense, I'm all of these things, and we've had conversations and you're just always on already. Like, in other words, it's going to be ready, Lisa, when it's ready already. It's already ready. And
so that's exactly why. Like, my patience comes from knowing that everything is already done.
Yeah.
Everything is already, it's going to be what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you don't know it yet, even if, like, there's no need to sit here and like worry about something 3 days from now. Like I have two whole days before that day.
Yeah.
I'm not about to sit here and torture myself wondering the possibilities, what ifs, can this go wrong? And most of the times it's always negative. It's never like, can it go great? This is gonna be amazing. And it's most of the time like, what's gonna go wrong? So I've realized like that doesn't necessarily have to happen.
No, you don't have to put yourself like, on that schedule.
It's already here. We already have what we need. We already have the understanding.
Like, yeah.
I know it's difficult to get there a lot of times, but that's my thing. Like it's not so much I'm patient. I'm just I understand like this is already gonna be this and this is gonna be this. And like I have zero control of that. God's in control of that. Like that's not me.
Right. That's real. Also, anywhere. Love that song. Who did you work with on production? It sounds like the song reminds me of Rejoicing It really does. It just reminds me of a time when we were able to rejoice and relish and celebrate the small occurrences that have happened in our lives. And I think now we're so blown up as far as our expectations of things that we're missing a lot of the little things that make us great. So talk to me about that and who you worked with on production and why that song Anywhere is just so now. And are you guys going to shoot a video? I would love to see a video of that.
I think we're going to shoot some more visuals for it. Anywhere came about from, so there's a sample in Anywhere that says Anywhere, like that's actually, it's not from a record. It's actually the guy who's singing the hook.
Okay.
We had a jam session like maybe a year prior, and I recorded everything, like literally. So he was playing, but I had everything separated. I had, had his vocals and everything. So I sampled him, and then I worked with a few different keyboard players. This one was Dave Balfour.
Okay.
So that's why it's real bright. I tend, if I start the track, I tend to be very dark. That's just like my go-to thing. So when I work with other people, it tends to bring the different side. Like, oh, let's go here. So we got it started with Dave Balfour on that. And he's, if you don't know his name or whatnot, he did Ooh, Girl, I Can't Believe It, the T-Pain song.
Oh, okay. I knew the name was familiar, but...
Yeah. He might have been in the backyard before.
That's what I'm saying. I think I might have seen him walking by. You know, I'd be going down in the yard and I come back here and participate and when I can or whatever, but I got a real job too. But you know, every day
I love coming back.
You know, I got a real job. I only get to come back here on Sundays a lot of times, but man, when I come back here, it's such a great pool of people. And you're definitely one of them. So I wanted to snatch you up to talk about some things. But I think from Anywhere, this sets us up nicely to go to the grill. Let's burn some stuff up, man. Let's burn some stuff up. Because you can't be in the backyard without there being a grill, without there being a real fire up in here.
I've been on that grill, too. You can't be.
And this will be no exception. And today I wanted to put on the grill energy because, you know, Anthony, you are just energy. You are just energy. And like I said, I really like the way that you dispense and share your energy and wanted to pose some of this questions to you. And it's like, why do you think our energy suffers so much in this business of artistry, trying to be an artist?
I think a lot of it's from we can't get past like the age disparity. Like experience teaches us a lot. So like without experience, you don't know what your energy does and doesn't do oftentimes. But that's where people come in like that already have experience and hey, let me bring you over here and show you, like, you're very powerful, especially at a younger age. That somebody came and told me, like, at my early age, like, hey, go here, use this, harness this, put this here. You're going to meet this. Like, nothing is new under the sun, right?
Right.
Like, so why let someone else go through things they don't have to? So I feel like it suffers because they just don't have the information. However, though, they also have energy and information that maybe the older generation doesn't. So I feel like that if somehow we could combine those two groups of people and share information, I think that could improve. But it's going to take getting past that, getting past ourselves, getting past and understand that. One, first, understanding that you're an energy being, like we're spiritual, electrical people. Like it's what we are. That we if we touch something with electricity, we get shot. Like if we were rubber, that would happen. Like we have electricity in us. We have spirit in us. When our hair is raised on our arms, like that's energy. So we are energetic people, but there's different ways of feeding that. Music feeds it. Color feeds it, art feeds it, speaking feeds it, like frequencies feed it, all that. So I think we're barely starting to kind of understand that information. So I'm hoping and I have faith that it'll improve, and I'm doing my part at least to kind of share that. Any information I get, like, hey, you don't have to go throughout your day feeling depleted and low, and like even if you don't understand, like,
yeah,
I think maybe that's the misconception. I think a lot of people feel that in order to have energy, that things have to be perfect, or like, you know, like you got to be super successful, or you got to be, you know, doing great at what you're doing. Like, that builds energy too.
Yes.
But like, it can't rely just on that.
No.
Like, it's in us. Like,
right, to perfection. And how important, and I just want the audience to hear this, taste it, visualize it. How important is it for us to protect our energy? Like, dude, if you walk in the room and you're not exuding the right type of energy, I need to pick that up and know that that's not the situation for me because you're not giving off the correct energy that I am trying to put myself in contact with. How do you handle that? Because with you bringing in so many different musicians, like you said, not everybody's energy is 100. So how do you deal with that? Meaning going in, getting what you need from the situation, the brother to play, sing, dance, whatever that thing is, but not connecting with the energy.
A lot of it for me personally comes from I'll remove expectation.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, I'm fluid. I'm water. I don't have an expectation that this is going to go this way, that way, or whatnot. So I remove the expectation, but I have confidence in removing the expectation because I know how to utilize my energy. Mm-hmm. I know how to assert it and direct it and move it. And I know how to kind of block out other things that are trying to do it. But it comes because I'm sensitive to it more now. I wasn't always. I was just kind of more like, wasn't sure what that was. Now we know. It's funny, there's a song on that same project called Guttural. And it's made up, I think it's a made up word. Forgive me, prop, it's not a made up word.
What is it, guttural. Oh, wow.
But it's for him, he was like, that's that thing in your gut that you know, like everything that you already knew, everything is like, but you still go against it. So for me, like, the closer you are to that, the less you're, you know, clinging on to other things. I explained this to my kids, like, about it when they clean something. I was like, the order in which you do stuff matters. Like, so if you go and want to clean off the counter and you just throw water on it immediately, like, that'll clean it. Like, but all the big debris is just going to be there. And now you made a big old mess. And now you're going to spread everything out around. Like, you should get the big debris off first, then go with your water, then you dry off.
Right. There's a process to this.
There's a process. So, like, before I go out and think I'm going to direct anybody's energy, I have to make sure I know what mine is doing.
Yeah.
I got to make sure I'm not carrying anybody else's. So I'm very careful that I don't go and, like, I hear everybody out, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm receiving it all and, like, hey, this is on me now. Like, I'm going to wear it too. Like, nah, I ain't wearing your shit. Your shit is your shit. Like, I acknowledge it. I see it. I could see. I'm going to be sensitive and feel what it is and what it's not. Like, but I don't have to wear it. And that understanding, knowing that I don't have to take your energy with me, mm-hmm. and that I could kind of force yours around and whatnot. And it's also knowing when not to. Like, it's not always about just doing it. It's like, don't do it sometimes. When to stand back.
Right.
You know, for me, patience isn't so much because, like, oh, I'm going to be calm. It's like, well, I don't necessarily have the answer right now, but I don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, so since I don't have an expectation to answer this thing immediately, like, I'm good. Like, it's going to reveal itself already. Like, I don't need to go and figure it out. Like, that's, some things aren't meant for me to go and do all the work for. It's going to reveal itself.
Yeah. And that expectation thing, though, is just because you want to believe, you know, Anthony, that you expect. I know for me, a lot of times what has gotten me caught up in this thing is that I know the type of work that I do. I know what I put into everything. Mm-hmm. I put 100,000% into everything. And that's what I don't expect someone else to do that, but I expect something from you. And mm-hmm. to be encountering so many people that don't have anything to offer as far as to bring to the table, but still expect the same things, that just throws me off a bit. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, I would have to be seeing a psychiatrist every week, because it's like, come on, man. Like, if you are expecting me to deliver something to you, what are you bringing? Like, nothing. You're not bringing anything to the table for us to eat. That blows me away about where we are in history and life right now, where so many people expect you to bring something for their energy, but don't bring anything to contribute to the energy as a whole.
Right. There definitely is that whole aspect to deal with, because I mean, in my method, like, if you go about life in my method, like, hey, just remove your expectations, I get left with a lot of what I call exercise energy. like that was just an exercise of my energy.
Right.
It didn't really amount to what I wanted it to be or anything of value. They got more out of it than I did it. And the reality is, even when I say that, they got more out of it than I did. Like, I'm winning because I'm exercising what God created me to be, regardless. Nice. You know, if all you got was that moment out of it and ran with it and whatever it is, like, well, then your loss is the fact that I'm no longer around. Like, I'm a charge, and I will continue to be a charge. But once I remove my charge, if you didn't figure out or you don't have a charge yourself, well, then we're left with what's left.
Right, lights out.
But even in the loss, or even in the loss of time, a lot of my thing comes down to time these days.
Yeah.
I'll finish the day like, damn, like, they got me for 6 hours. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But what did I get?
Really get out of it?
I got good. I did this. And it's not even about them. It was like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know?
And at the end of the day, that's what makes the difference. You know, mm-hmm. That's why your quote, it was just so powerful to me when I read it, you know, in reference to energy and being a charge and people thinking they're in charge, you know, just a whole play on words, and how we are using the play on words and not producing what these words say that we're going to produce. So it's like, to our audience, when you're talking about energy, just like Anthony said, and I'm going to practice this more, instead of expecting something from that energy that I'd exchange on a regular, I need to look beyond that energy, you know, and be able to move forward within it. So energy is such a powerful thing for us that we have to be mindful of it at mm-hmm. all times, you know. And someone in the backyard right now got their phone going and they know I'm gonna choke them after the ring. But we gonna act like we don't hear it.
Phone check in the backyard.
You know what I'm saying? I'm the phone check in the backyard. How you phone checking? Y'all know I'm recording. Turn that off. But anyway, I had to address it because it's just like right there. You know what I mean? So when we're talking about energy, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, that phone call there. I ain't letting it take my energy, but I had to address it because it's a real thing that's going on, right?
Right.
And that's what energy is. Energy is something that we must control, and it's something that we must not expect so much from. you know. And, you know, Lutz, I think we really handled that energy thing. So I'm going to go ahead and take that off the grill because we burnt it up. If you ain't got no forget about it. You ain't got nothing over here. Because I want to get back to some more of what you've been up to. Because I wanted to talk to you. A lot of your music has been played on television. A lot of the music that you have done. How did you get that going? How did you connect yourself with the television industry in order to find another, yet another outlet for your great musical stuff that you put together? Was that hookup or relationship?
Different things. Everything funnels back to relationships. So my more recent things, a lot of shout out to Greedy. Having relationships with people who have relationships with people.
Right.
Yeah. But even prior to that, for all the artists and producers and musicians, knowing that that's accessible is probably the first step. Like, I think a lot of people feel that it's not that it's hard or it's not so easily attainable, but just understanding, like, hey, if you want that direction, you could go there. Like,
yeah,
you gotta, here's the information, music supervisors, you know, film scores, get with people, get with directors and whatnot. So a lot of my stuff was relationships, but also me going in and actually being active in that. I got into film scoring because I got a TV play or a song placement on a movie. And I was like, hey, what if I actually was able to do more? Right. And I started studying it more. And then I started learning the names of all these other people. Like music supervisors, directors, and who does what, editors, and knowing like, okay, meet these people. So it's relationships and then building relationships with everybody, not just a Greedy or a someone who knows these. Because even those people, like, Greedy's a good dude, don't mind the name. He's a good dude. But I've had past scenarios where it wasn't that. Like, my introduction to the whole thing was somebody not really giving me the game on how they were getting paid. And I was happy with the quick check, not realizing like, hey, I gave you all the publishing on it. Like, like, that's why you did this and that's why you did that. Like, oh. And then when I actually learned, like, oh, go do this, then they didn't want to mess with me no more.
Right, so, you already knew and they were looking to get over on you.
Information, now let's move forward. But I realized like, TV and film and music are more of a marriage than everybody gives it credit for. So any musician or producer or writer or whatnot, like, I would urge you to really figure out how to get and then make music that way. That's the other thing. It's not so much that that knowing people and going and making friends with editors and directors and all that. You actually got to make the music that fits to a movie. Not all the songs, just because they're popular, like if you played all the top songs on the radio, not all of them fit for movies. Yeah. Like, they're just good for the, you know, to be heard over and over again. But for movies, it's a different thing. It's got to set a tone. It's got to sell a feeling. So for me, a lot of my music came from that, like,
right,
drama in my life, lessons I've learned in my life. Things I've gone through, experiences, but I've figured out how to kind of put it onto a record and then realizing like, oh, people like this stuff for this thing. So though I might not have been able to make songs that jump on the radio all the time, I'm able to put music that has a feeling and has a pulse and has some sort of energy and some sort of emotion to it.
Yeah.
So that's also a huge part of it. So before you even make those relationships, you don't have the music that fits like that. And it could be anything. It's not, I don't want to say like it's one sound, like it's right, tons of different sounds, but keep that in mind when you're creating. So I do that now. Like, now most of the music I create, I'm envisioning what it, either the music video is going to look like, envisioning what kind of a scene this movie is, or envisioning like how somebody's going to listen to it. Are they in the car? Or when somebody, this is going to be the song when they're going through this that they're going to listen to. So I create in that form. So I guess that's part of the way I also got placements from the past and, you know, present.
Yeah. And see, that's good stuff. And I got to ask you, because your music taste is so broad. What are your five top artists right now that you're listening to, whether it be R&B, hip hop, a mixture of all? Let us know that and why.
Oh, it's literally a mixture of all. it's crazy.
Give us a few. You know what I mean, Mr. Cruz? Just a few.
I'll give you some. I listen to a lot of gospel music.
Okay.
So, but I listen to more of the old throwback gospel stuff.
Got like the Kirk Franklin.
The Kirk Franklin's, the who's that? What's the other one? Oh, you're going to Ty Tribbett's.
Okay.
The Fred Hammonds and whatnot. Because these are songs I learned as a kid.
Right.
But I listen to a lot of gospel music. Present day, the hip-hop, what hip-hop album that I'm playing? I don't listen a lot to the radio. When I'm in the car, I'm listening to most of the stuff that I'm working on, so I don't get a chance to switch it over and listen. But hip-hop, I like the new Common album, D-Smoke, I like. I'm a producer, so a lot of my opinions are also including, did I like the music, as a whole? Like, some songs, I don't care for the beat. I gotta really like the song. But the ones I've really been on are, like, the new Common album is really cool. Like, Saying Something, different, he's still dope. D-Smoke is a new, fresh, fresh ear, but with a kind of a throwback vibe to it. He's some hip hop. R&B, I like Giveon. Or am I saying that wrong? I don't know. And another artist.
Giveon? What is it?
Giveon.
Oh, okay.
He's from Long Beach. He's like I like him because he has a different, different texture to his voice. He has a low register. So he's not like the high soprano singing R&B male vocalist or with the, he does a falsetto, but it's not a high. It's like almost like if Nate Dogg was even a little lower tone.
Oh, okay.
And he's from Long Beach too, but he's dope. So that in the R&B world, that's what I've been listening to a lot.
Good stuff. You even took me around the world with that.
Oh, man. Oh, I got to please. And I think you might have walked in when I played this in WizKid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like WizKid too. You should turn me on to him. He's the truth. Wow. I love that. I love your choices. And lastly, how can we follow your movement, Anthony Cruz? We want to know about Water to See. We want to be able to follow the growth and all the great artists that you will be allowing to explore their talent through your collective. So tell us where we can find you at, your Instagram, your website. Yeah.
So you can follow me on Instagram at Born Anthony Cruz.
Okay.
The Water the Seed ENT. So it's Water the Seed ENT. If you follow my Born Anthony Cruz, you'll probably get, little cross. I have a lot of cross content from Water the Seed from my L's page, but find me on either one of those or watertheseed.live. It's not, by the time this is out, it'll be up, but I'm revamping it and it's going to be a home. It's going to be the home for like all the content that I have. Like every project I do, I'm gonna do also like live performances with the artists and bringing some musicians and whatnot. So that content's gonna live there.
Wow.
Just another outlet for artists. So watertheseed.live.
Watertheseed.live. And you guys make sure that you tap into that because like I said, you can learn so much from what he's doing in terms of bringing artists together and exploring and allowing them to grow within their talent. And that's really what we try to do here with Rappers in My Backyard. We're about watering seeds too. We have a lot of up and coming artists that we work with that we pour into and exchange and love on so that they can discover and be successful and confident and know who they are in this business. And so, that's what it's about for us collectively as a whole. And I want to go back to the quote, Anthony, because I think it really set us up nicely. You went out It really set us up nicely for what it is that we talked about. And the quote goes, I'm not in charge, I'm a charge. And I mean, that just set up everything. And that's who you are. And that's who we are collectively. We are a charge. And we got to make sure that we are mindful of that. And we're mindful of our energy and what we put out in the world. Because everything we put out there, guess and trust and believe, it comes back to you. And that's the way we got to think of things, not as what our expectations are, but more importantly, that everything that we do is an experience, it's an experiment that helps us be better in the things that we do. Am I right, Anthony, or what?
You are right on, spot on.
That's what it is. And to our audience, thanks so much for tuning in today. Like I said, there's no greater day than Sunday for me spiritually and being able to hook up with each one of you guys. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and like, share, comment, and tell your friends about what we're doing over here, because you want to tap in. And we are definitely streaming on all platforms. So if you don't want to see us, make sure that you hear us, because we got something to say and we will make a difference in your life. Check out our website at www.rappersinmybackyard.com so you can stay up with what's going on here in the backyard. And if you want to be a guest on the show and you're a true artist, come through. I got you. I'm 100 about this. And also, I want to say thank you so much to my man, Anthony Cruz, for coming by the yard today and sharing your wonderful gift, which is your energy and your talent and your patience, man, because I'm learning a lot from you. And, you know, I was a different girl before I met Anthony. Now I'm real patient and calm.
You was always that person.
I had it everywhere, you know, I just didn't realize it.
Unlayering things, so we just understand, all of us.
Right, I'm just a fresh onion.
I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your platform. I appreciate everything that you're doing. You guys are a tremendous blessing to me. And I know it's not part of the show, but I just want you guys to really know that you guys are a waterer of seeds as well, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without you guys as well.
Wow, and I appreciate that. And to the audience again, I can't wait to talk, express, relate, and connect with you next Sunday at 2. We watering seeds over here, and we love you guys, and we're out. Take care. Peace. Hang with me, Anthony.
Yep.
We rap about relationships, entertainment, and music. You heard?